Shazam.
Oh, that couldn't be more fitting, Wendy. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. We just received word downstairs as we were, you know, changing the guards.
It's hardly the guards.
It's much like what they do at Buckingham Palace, Wendy.
Except we laugh.
Yeah. They're not allowed to laugh, but we do nothing but laugh. We received word, Kim Gordon broke the sad news to us, that Jim Nabors has passed away. The singer, the actor, Jim Nabors, no longer with us. Very, very sad news.
All right, may I ask you the first time you saw Jim Nabors?
Well, that would be on an episode of the Andy Griffith Show, Wendy.
He was Gomer Pyle.
Yeah. A character so popular, even though he was a small character, so popular that he then got his own spinoff, Gomer Pyle USMC.
U.S. Marine Corps.
Yes.
He was a Marine?
On the show, yeah. Not in real life.
No, I didn't even, I guess just because of the initials, I figured out he was a Marine, but I didn't realize he was a Marine.
Yeah, that was the whole show.
I just saw him as a gas station attendant.
Well, that's what he did on the Andy Griffith Show, and then when he branched out, they sent him into the military, and he had a weekly scuffle with Frank Sutton.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Sergeant Carter, I believe.
Yes, you're right.
Right? Yeah, they were always at odds.
I guess I did.
That's what made the show so enjoyable.
I forgot I watched that.
Sergeant Carter angry.
All right, can I ask you a question? Because I know you and I had the same moment,
mm-hmm.
and many of us did.
Mm-hmm.
When you're seeing them being all goofy and you know, golly and so innocent, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden he sang and you were blown away.
It was amazing, wasn't it? I can't think of a single human being whose speaking voice and singing voice are that different other than Jim Nabors.
Can we hear a little of his singing voice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Professional.
Very professional. You know what it reminds me of is, you know how like when you hear opera or
yeah.
something, you go, I could do that. And then you sing like you try too hard. You go, you dream, the impossible dream. Except his was legit. He wasn't messing around. He was just pretty good.
He was pretty fantastic, but I just remember, like, you know, your eyes would poke out of your head like a cartoon. Like, when
yeah.
you first saw him sing, you were like, how could that possibly be?
Right, because he talked
like a local yokel.
Bumpkin,
yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden, that voice would come out of him. And he was pretty successful as a singer. I remember as a kid, a lot of holidays, he would do a Christmas special, almost always from Hawaii.
Which is funny, because I asked you off the air if you know where he originally was from, and your answer...
I thought Hawaii, because that's why they gave him the Christmas specials, but as it turned out, no.
By way of Alabama.
Yeah, he was born in Alabama. That probably explained the southern accent that he had.
Yeah, it didn't seem, he didn't look, he didn't act, he didn't sound Hawaiian.
No, but I was still going to go. I'm still going to go with Hawaii, even though I know the answer is Alabama.
Well, here's some interesting facts that I found at IMDb, Internet Movie Data Bill, which I like to call it.
Mm-hmm,
and I usually trust them. They're pretty good, although every once in a while they turn into Wikipedia and you find some wrong information. And mm-hmm. I think we've found out on air with guests when that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what some of the stuff for Jim Nabors as we... celebrate his life. Jim Nabors passed away. He was 87 years old. It says,
I don't remember can you remember the last time you saw him?
No.
It's been years and years and years since he showed up anywhere in public. I mean, he's been in public. I just haven't seen him. I guess that's more accurate. He didn't lock himself in the house in 1975 and never come out. I just haven't seen him lately.
Yeah, I haven't heard him, but just some of the stuff I didn't know. Okay, tall, spade-jawed.
Yes, that's how I would describe him.
I don't
Wendy.
Even know what that means.
He is spade-jawed.
Like a spade, like a shovel? Because it
yeah.
was like a square jaw, kind
of? A lot of times you'll describe a guy as lantern-jawed, and that's because they've got kind of a boxy chin. And he was more spade-jawed, because if you needed a hole dug, you would use Jim Nabors' head. That was commonplace for years. That's why he refused to leave his house, because people kept using him for excavation projects.
What a stupid description.
Spade jawed. You don't hear that a lot.
No.
But lantern jawed would always describe somebody like Dick Tracy.
Or Clutch Cargo.
Clutch Cargo was lantern jawed.
Yeah. That still doesn't sound like a compliment. How about strong jawed?
Yeah, that would. Yeah, that sounds better.
Lantern? Who wants a jaw like a lantern?
It means it's rounded, but it's got sharp curves.
I know what
it
means, but lanterns are all different.
It lights up. Your jaw lights up if you're in the dark.
All right. Tall, spade-jawed, hopelessly genial balladeer/actor.
Boy, I hope that's how I'm described when I pass away.
That's pretty nice.
That same way.
Except the spade jaw. Let me see your jaw.
It's not really spade jaw. What would mine be?
Twizzler-jawed.
Twizzler-jawed. That's accurate. I'm fine with that. That's fine.
He was born in 1930 in Alabama, raised there, graduating from the University of Alabama, a typing clerk at the UN in his salad days. Now, I don't know what salad days are.
That just means...
When you're starting out?
When you're starting out and that's all you could afford.
You know how expensive salads are?
Oh, not back then. Back then, you could get a whole... You could get a salad and dressing and three anchovies for a nickel back then. Those were the better times, in my opinion.
Anchovy jawed.
Anchovy jawed.
I like that. Yeah. All right. During his salad days, he was a typing clerk at the UN. He eventually moved to L.A. due to his asthmatic condition and became a film cutter for NBC. Did you know any of this?
I didn't know any of that. Nope.
Jim was discovered on stage doing a cabaret act at the Horn, a now defunct but then highly popular Santa Monica nightclub. Combining his gifts for classical singing and gawky hick characterizations, his highly unique shtick was either ridiculously insane or totally brilliant. Either way, it garnered him notice. Comic Bill Dana.
All right, so Bill Dana you would know probably from the Steve Allen Show. He's the one who used to do the character Jose Jimenez.
He caught Jim's act and opted for the latter assessment, saying he was brilliant, inviting him to audition for Steve Allen's TV variety show. Jim went on to appear on Allen's show a number of times. TV star Andy Griffith caught his silly singing down-home gimmick as well and offered him the part of dim but lovable gas station attendant Gomer Pyle on his popular 60s sitcom.
All right, so Andy Griffith had somewhat of a relationship with Steve Allen's show because that's where Don Knotts got his start also.
Boy, it all goes back to that. So far, does this seem accurate?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Jim's career, Jim Nabors were talking about, took off like a skyrocket. His sheepish, golly.
That's pretty good.
And bug-eyed, shazam.
Even better.
Expressions became part of the American vernacular, and it wasn't long before the beloved character would spin off into his own series, as Bill mentioned, Gomer Pyle, USMC.
What did I say?
USC.
No, USMC. United States Marine Corps. All right, so think about this. Usually when there's a character that has a spinoff, it's a major character. But on the Andy Griffith Show, Gomer Pyle was far from a major character. He would always come in and be in maybe a scene or two at the most, but he was an ancillary character. So this is a testament to how popular he was to take a character that small and throw them a spinoff. That's pretty rare.
And it was a solid hit back in 1964.
Oh, yeah.
Did better than Otis's show.
Yeah, the Otis.
Or Howard's.
The Otis Campbell show. Yeah. That's the soundtrack.
Boy, we had the same little break in there.
Was there... I'm trying to think if the Andy Griffith Show...
Mayberry RFD.
Yeah, that... Well... That was a spinoff because Andy left his own show.
Oh, that's right.
He didn't want to be on the show anymore, so they brought Ken Berry in.
I loved Ken Berry.
To be his cousin.
Oh, my God, I loved Ken Berry. I don't know why I had a little bit of a crush on him.
On Ken Berry?
I really did. Good dancer.
Yeah. I like Halle Berry.
I could,
of the Berries.
She's more crushable.
My two favorites, Halle Berry and then Frankenberry.
Gomer Pyle, USMC, was a solid hit at the bungling... Excuse me, was a solid hit as the bungling, painfully naive, gentle do-gooder found himself hilariously at odds with Marine Corps and particularly tough Sergeant Carter, played terrifically by the late Frank Sutton. The show ran five seasons. Jim solidified himself as a household name.
So that was one of the shows, and you saw a lot of this in the 60s, where the entire premise was two people that didn't entirely get along. Gomer Pyle would confound him every week, and that was the setup, and that was the punchline. That was it. That's
that
all
was
you had
it.
To do.
Throw still any worked.
It worked it beautifully every week.
All right, this is where it just gets so right up your alley.
What is it?
You probably know this, but I just didn't know this about Jim Nabors, and, you know, he has passed away, so we're doing a little...
A remembrance.
A little bit.
Yeah.
On the downside of this TV success, Jim found himself inextricably pigeonholed as a gullible, squeaky, clean hick.
Yeah.
As a result, he found work elsewhere, particularly in children-oriented series for Sid and Marty Krofft and Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
Yeah.
What the heck? He also decided to refocus on his beautiful baritone voice, recording a number of romantic, easy-listening albums. Five of them went gold. One of them went platinum, and he got a gold record for his rendition of the Lord's Prayer.
That's pretty good.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallowed. Who's the woman who sang that? Because she had a hit.
Wasn't it a nun who sang
yeah.
that, right? Yeah.
Sister
Janet somebody.
I think you're right. Yeah. We talked about that on the stream. Mm-hmm. On TV, Jim Nabors became a frequent singing comedy guest on all the top primetime variety and late shows, including Sonny and Cher.
Mm-hmm.
The Tonight Show,
mm-hmm.
Dean Martin Show,
mm-hmm.
David Frost Show, Joey Bishop Show, and he also...
He was one of those guys that there was a period, late 60s, early mid-70s, you couldn't not find him. Like,
right.
if you turn on the
everywhere.
TV, like John Davidson, like Glenn Campbell, they were always, always, always on TV.
And then he also became the annual Good Luck Charm opening season guest on close friend Carol Burnett's TV variety series during her 12-year run.
Right.
I forgot about that.
Does it say in there, because I seem to remember him singing the national anthem at some major sporting event that I want to say was the Super Bowl. Did he sing that at the Super Bowl? Does it say anything in there? It was some major game that they brought out Jim Nabors to thunderous applause. The crowd just loved him.
I don't have that information. You'd have to look. Sang Back Home Again in Indiana for 42 years during opening ceremony is the Indy 500.
All right. I knew he did that. I knew he did that, but I thought he sang at either the Super Bowl or some championship game of some kind. Because I remember them bringing him out, and they go, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Nabors. And I go, oh, they're not going to. Wait a minute. They love him.
At a Super Bowl, are you sure it wasn't the Indianapolis 500?
No, maybe it wasn't the Super Bowl. I knew he did the Indy.
He lived in Indiana for a while, he sang Back Home Again in Indiana. The last appearance was 2014. Ill health forced him to discontinue appearing.
So do you remember who he was? And this was in... This was a myth.
Oh, wait. His first appearance in 1972 was a confusing one. He thought he was invited to sing the national anthem, but a scant few minutes before he was to perform, he found out he was there to sing Back Home Again in Indiana. In this short period of time, to his credit, he learned the melody and words and performed it flawlessly, so he wasn't even ready to roll.
Wow.
That is pretty amazing.
What a professional.
And, also, I kind of didn't remember that he was gay.
Yeah.
I saw on the AP news alert that we got that husband has announced that Jim Nabors has died.
You thought it was a typo.
I just didn't. I couldn't figure that out. And he was seen on a limited basis in the early 1990s. His life took a serious hit in 1994 when, after years of ill health, he was forced to have a liver transplant.
Oh.
He returned to the limelight very infrequently, talk shows and reunion shows, preferring the quiet, relaxing life he has in Hawaii and running a macadamia nut plantation.
That's how we'll both end up.
I'm okay with that. On January 15th, 2013, the 82-year-old Nabors made coming out news by marrying his life partner of 38 years, Stan Cadwallader. I don't know how to say it. Cadwallader, a retired Honolulu firefighter. They got married at a Seattle hotel after Washington became a same-sex marriage state a month earlier.
Good for them.
So that's when he officially came out in 2013, which is probably why I didn't remember it.
Well, all right. So at some point in the 1970s, and I don't remember exactly when, but at some point in the 1970s, there was a rumor that he, Jim Nabors, and Rock Hudson, now this was before anybody knew that Rock Hudson was gay, that they were married.
What?
You never heard that before?
That was they were married?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
There was
that code for together?
Well, it was a code for, all right.
They lived together? They made a home
married
together?
Would be so weird.
Well, keep in mind, this was the 70s when it wasn't
Where'd you get your information?
I lived through the 70s.
Yeah, but
for 10 years.
Worried about the Brady Bunch in the 70s, not Jim Nabors and Rock Hudson.
Well, the weirdness of this was nobody foresaw in the 70s that we would reach a time, as we have now, where two men or two women could get married. So the rumor itself would make people just gasp and go, wait a minute. How did they do this? I mean, why did they do this? How did they? It was so foreign to people, just the mere idea that two big celebrities, two men, could possibly be not only romantically linked, but possibly married.
I never heard the married, but I heard, now, correct me if I'm wrong, the Rock Hudson situation was he never really came out and admitted he was gay. It was revealed after
end.
He died?
Yeah.
Or he did come out? I don't think he ever came out. I thought other people revealed.
I want to say, I remember hearing it, like Doris Day commenting about it, because she and Rock Hudson were close since they made movies in the 60s. So she talked about it, and that's after he had died.
I don't think he ever came out. And
Did he die of AIDS?
I thought, yes.
Yeah. So that's when I think everything swirled around. But there were always rumors about Rock Hudson.
I never.
Like Jim Nabors. I've heard.
God, what circles did you hang out in?
No, isn't that funny? Like, who knows how I heard that.
Your parents must have been talking about it.
Because I never heard anything about, you know, Matt Lauer, which everyone seemed to know about. I didn't know any about that
either.
But I think Jim Nabors, and you know what? It was these reports, they come out once in a while, and
but think
someone
about
says something. And
at the time of his show, so again, this is late 60s, early 70s, he's already left the Andy Griffith Show. He's got a huge hit with Gomer Pyle, USMC. If anyone had confirmed those rumors back then, his career would have been
over. And I'm talking about much more recent that I heard. I never heard anything at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But isn't it just funny, society? Like, think about Liberace.
Yeah.
My grandparents would be, gay. He is not gay.
Right.
Come on. I mean, they just would not believe it.
I find it shocking.
Wendy still doesn't
Wendy,
believe
he,
it.
You know.
He's just a flamboyant guy. I mean, I don't care. It's just
did
at that
time. Did you not see the HBO special?
I didn't see it.
It was good.
It was great.
I should
but
see it.
But what's so funny, and he won a lawsuit.
Yeah, defamation of character lawsuit.
That they said he was gay, and he won the lawsuit.
Against one of the tabloids, right?
Yes! It was just hilarious.
So was he gay?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Not only that, but he insisted that his lovers, well, according to the movie, they had plastic surgery to look like him.
Right. Scott Thorson?
I'm surprised you're not a lesbian and you don't have girlfriends who look like you, because you like yourself so much.
Well, what do you know? You don't know anything about my personal life, do you?
I don't. But that is so weird, really? Yeah. I didn't know he had him to look like himself.
Well, that was in the HBO, which was very good.
Who
Michael Douglas
him?
Was so good in
he
that.
Was Liberace?
Yes.
Michael Douglas?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wendy, you have to see it. It's very good. And then Matt Damon was his lover.
Can I tell you who else is so incredibly good in it? It doesn't make sense.
Debbie Reynolds
plays
his
mother.
Yes. I love her.
It may be the best role of her career.
Yes. You know what? It was really, really a good movie.
What was it called?
Liberace, maybe?
Well,
no,
I mean,
it
like,
wasn't.
How long ago did this come out?
It was
3 years
recent.
Ago.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, you might be able to catch it still. Yeah. I mean, it's really, HBO really does a good job on those kind of
It was
things.
So good.
So it's Scott
Thorson.
Thorson. It's, I believe, based on maybe a
his
book he wrote. Or So
Behind the Candelabra.
Yes. Behind the Candelabra.
All right, I will watch that.
Or Liberace.
2013.
Oh, 4 years ago.
2013.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. So and good. The acting is awesome.
Yeah.
That's
Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Oh, right, he looks just
holy
like
Candelabra.
Holy candelabra.
Holy, I'm going to put white wings on and fly through the air, but don't call me gay, because I am not.
Remember he played a villain on Batman?
Yeah.
Chantel?
Yes.
He played Chantel on Batman.
Which means
Liberace.
Liberace, oh
and
my
he
gosh.
He didn't change his attitude at all. It was like he was Liberace.
Chantel is the feminine version of Singer.
Oh.
Like Chantel, it would be, I know there's Chanteuse.
Right.
But I mean, was it ELLE?
I don't remember the spelling.
Oh, I wonder now, because that's
I think it was S-H-A-N-T-E-L, I think.
Okay.
I think. All right, we must take a break. Judy has the news.
Oh, we didn't take a break?
No, we're not taking a break
yet.
Oh,
my good golly.
All right, sorry we're a little late with
the
news.
I'm so sorry.
And then more
I'm Liberace.
It's Bill and Liberace.
Shazam! Shazam!
Is this the little girl I carry? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember.
Oops, sorry. Beautiful. Although, was this your style of voice?
Yeah, this is how I sing.
No. Because when I heard it, it's like, it's absolutely beautiful, but it's not my type of...
Yeah, it's kind of stuffy. I don't know how else to say it. It's almost like opera.
Yeah.
It is very operatic.
Yeah.
You wonder if he could have been a little bit looser, because he has obviously a fabulous voice.
I think this is just the style that he is most comfortable in singing. This, of course, the voice of Jim Nabors, who we lost earlier today. Kim Gordon broke the sad news to us about a half hour ago, 40 minutes ago, that Jim Nabors has passed away. Now, I brought up a rumor that was very popular in the 1970s. I'm on Snopes right now, Wendy. The rumor again on Snopes, and this is something that I had heard quite often as a child. You had never heard it, and Judy, you
were. No, because I was doing kid stuff.
Later in life.
You were doing kid stuff?
You hung with the old people.
I was working with Rona Barrett at the time.
You were watching Jim Nabors sing on Saturday night. That was the difference.
You know what's weird is you have Rona Barrett's haircut now.
Yeah. I do that in tribute to Rona Barrett, who I miss very much. Every day I miss her.
I loved her.
The question is, it was posted to Snopes, did actors Jim Nabors and Rock Hudson marry each other? That was the rumor we heard in the 70s. Here's their story. The origin is this. Sometimes the most ridiculous rumors are the ones that prove the longest lived. That is certainly the case with the rumored Jim Nabors-Rock Hudson union, a fabrication that entered popular lore in 1971. So we would have been about 8 years old at the time.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Unlike,
I didn't even know who Rock Hudson was then.
You didn't? No, not at all?
Probably not. Huh? I was eight.
Unlike many bits of celebrity gossip, this tale began as a good-natured in-joke about two men
in
the entertainment industry.
Keep going, Bill. Keep going.
Whom insiders knew to
be... Insiders?
Stop, Bill. Stop.
It's like a game of Mother May I. Who insiders knew to be homosexual, but who remained closeted to the public. Now, that's the story I'd heard over the years, was once it was known that Rock Hudson was gay and that Jim Nabors was gay...
They just put them together?
Well, no, because this happened prior to that. But everybody in Hollywood's like, oh, we know these guys. We'll just throw those names together and see what happens. And what happened was people all around the country who all of a sudden didn't know that either man had been gay would go, wait a minute, that's hysterical that you would put two guys, two burly men like Rock Hudson and Jim Nabors together and getting married, because that's the last thing in the world that could possibly be.
But if those were the first two rumors, I could see where people say, well, you know, it's not that common to be gay. So if he's gay and he's gay, maybe they're together. Somebody just texted, I absolutely remember the rumor about Jim Nabors and Rock Hudson being married. I was in grade school in the late 60s, and we thought, well, that's not even possible.
Right.
Not realizing either was gay and not really understanding what gay was, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't know what gay was until much, much later in my life.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It didn't even
The
make
part
it
that disturbed
me.
People that I knew at the time about this rumor was the audacity that they would have a wedding. Like, we would formulate it in our heads and go, okay, so Rock Hudson's really, really popular. He's a movie star. So he invites all these Hollywood types. And then Jim Nabors has his own TV show. So he's got everybody from the Gomer Pyle show and Andy Griffith show. And they're sitting in a church and they're watching the... How could that be?
I could see how people thought it was just a big joke.
Right.
Oh, I can't see how an 8-year-old thinks that's...
I was thinking that.
I was discussing
that
and,
with?
Yeah.
Other heads of state.
I could see your, you know, 8-year-olds like, hey, what baseball cards do you have?
I don't have time for
Where
that.
Are we going riding today? Hey, what Hot Wheels do you have?
I was busy with
How
this.
Can you believe this, Rock Hudson? He's such a big, burly guy.
I was
shocked by this. Gomer Pyle.
And Jim Nabors. He's got his own TV show.
My friends and I would
Did you
pretend...
ever watch that show, Wendy?
Yeah.
Okay. I did.
What, Gomer Pyle? You never watched it?
No. I loved the Sergeant Carter.
Yeah.
He was so funny.
Frank Sutton. It says, a bit of silliness, that's the rumor they're referring to, this was a bit of silliness that was not intended to malign either man or to be mistaken for fact. No one, it appears, was looking to harm either Rock Hudson or Jim Nabors. This was an instance of playful exuberance taken as dead seriousness. I always wonder who started this.
Because yeah, okay, this became and did a national... they not think it through? Because it would have been hurtful and could
it
have ruined
have been.
Them.
And ruined
yeah,
a career.
Exactly.
Right.
I thought that's why, you know, Rock that, Hudson that didn't was, come out.
That was done with malice. That,
right.
You can't you ever say
so?
That
yeah.
was done as, oh, ha, ha,
Liberace
it
started it, I bet.
Liberace
maybe.
Started this?
To take the spotlight the, away
yep.
from him.
Wag the dog or wag something else.
So this is how
keep going, Bill.
This is how Rock Hudson felt about this rumor. This is a quote from Rock Hudson. There appears to be a. I'm sorry. It says Rock Hudson reported about the tale's origins. Here's what he says: There appears to be a couple of elderly, middle-aged homosexuals who live in Huntington Beach, which is just down the coast from Los Angeles. Who every year give a party, a big party, 500 or so, and they invite everyone they know. It's an engraved invitation, and to make it amusing, they say. You're cordially invited to the coronation of Queen Elizabeth in Huntington Beach. One year, the invitation was, you are cordially invited to the wedding reception of Rock Hudson and Jim Nabors, and that went all over the country.
Now, that's funny.
I don't know that it is, Jude. I got to be honest. That's the longest explanation that says nothing that I've ever heard.
Yeah, I don't even get it.
No, I just, that group, it's a funny thing that they did.
Go all over
they
the country is exactly
it.
What it did. A fan magazine picked up on the invites and ran an item which named no names but alluded to the wedding of two same-sex stars. One gossip monger spread the word, including a Chicago disc jockey.
Dick Biondi.
Do you think this was Biondi's work?
Who else is the...
Who could that have been?
What year is this?
All right, so this would have been 1971.
Ooh, Larry Lujack.
Lujack?
Steve Dahl.
No, it's too early.
71, yeah.
It's too early. Who
Lujack?
Could it have been in 1971?
Well, Dick Biondi wouldn't have really talked about him. He would have, unless he was a musician. You know what I mean? Dick Biondi stayed pretty much.
Find out. Go on Google and say.
We got to find out who this was. It could have been somebody here at this station.
Oh yeah. You're
wait.
Right.
So what did the disc jockey do?
They spread the. It said among gossip. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Other gossip mongers spread the word, including
Wally Phillips?
A Chicago
maybe.
Disc jockey
well,
who described
yeah.
the participants as sort of the Rock of Hollywood and a plain guy. Who are just neighbors.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the wording of Wally Phillips.
Yes.
Isn't, I'm not saying for sure it was him.
That could
but that's the kind
absolutely
of
be him.
Wordplay he would have used.
Right.
Right?
So I'm sorry. Are you saying that those, that the people who had that party in Huntington Beach, they're the ones who started this?
This was
of how this, or...
Rock Hudson's explanation of how this became
okay.
so far-fetched and well-known.
But I thought it was already out there, and they capitalized on the idea.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, this year, let's do, anyway.
Yeah. That the joke should have explained itself escaped notice. Very few picked up on the idea that the hunky Rock Hudson would hereinafter be known as Rock Pile.
There's a band named that.
Named Rock Pile?
Yeah.
Is it Jim Nabors' band?
No, it's heavy.
Once again, proving the adage that no joke is so obvious that some won't get it. The rumor was so prominent that both stars addressed it in the national press. Now, that I remember. I remember Jim Nabors having to downplay it, and I remember Rock Hudson at some point just saying, this is ridiculous. I didn't marry Jim Nabors. What are you talking about? Although, I do remember a picture of the two of them. There was some picture taken that they said
in
was the wedding.
In wedding gowns?
No, they were both wearing like jackets.
That was Dennis Rodman.
Right, when he married himself.
Right.
The rumor was so prominent, both stars addressed it in national press and considered filing lawsuits over the matter, with Nabors telling a newspaper syndicate in 1971 that most recently, myself and Rock Hudson have been the victims of a vicious, unfounded, and unwarranted story linking us to a non-existent homosexual marriage. What can I say? He began. It's like a nightmare. It's a bad dream. It's so ridiculous, yet so horrible. I really don't know what to say. Of course, it's untrue. How do you convince somebody of something like that? How do you do a story as horrible as that? So he's obviously not happy. The story of Jim Nabors' supposed affiliation with Rock Hudson began several months ago when a fan magazine carried an article without mentioning their names, led readers to believe that it was written about Nabors and Hudson. Nabors confided that the first reaction to the story was to sue for libel and slander, a tactic currently being pursued by Rock Hudson, who is reportedly hiring a battery of lawyers to gather evidence or lack of evidence for a future legal battle.
It seems like a pretty easy win.
Right.
Do you have a marriage certificate?
You could
no, we don't.
That they were not married.
That's all you have to prove.
Very easily proved.
But you know what? They never did because They wanted it to go away.
Well, I think both guys at the time, because it wasn't known that either guy was gay, what they had to lose was somebody coming forward and saying, I have had an affair with either Rock Hudson or Jim Nabors. So even though they'd be helping themselves in the lawsuit of them not being married,
they would open up another can of worms.
It would be very problematic. Yeah. 1971, Rock Hudson was still doing movies and Jim Nabors was still on TV quite regularly. Yeah. So both of them.
I watched a lot of Rock Hudson with
Doris Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that of anybody Doris Day was on camera with, except maybe James Garner.
Rock Hudson.
James Garner and Doris Day had a great chemistry, but the chemistry between Rock Hudson and Doris Day was very strong.
Unbelievable. Yep. I did love those movies.
Yeah. Yeah. They used to show them on the 3:30 movies on Channel 7 all the time. They'd always show those Doris Day Rock Hudson movies.
Right after school.
Yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm. It was either that or Dark Shadows, so we usually chose that.
Oh, that was good as well. I can't find the Chicago DJ.
Can't click on the where it says just Chicago DJ sometimes.
No,
it gives you a link.
It doesn't get any more.
Now, I'll have to track it down for you guys.
The story goes on and on and on and on about, you know, what happened because of this rumor and how potentially it damaged both men's careers. And I guess well, most people just wrote it off as ridiculous and moved on. But it was a rumor that hung around for years. I would say, other than the rumor about the gerbils and Richard Gere, that's not a fact.
Yeah, we believe that one immediately when we heard it.
But I can't think of two more
rumors.
That
has not been disproved.
No, that didn't happen. You know that.
How do you know?
Because it didn't happen.
How do you know it did? It's ridiculous.
It didn't happen.
I don't even care.
But those are the. Wouldn't you say that in our lifetime those have been? Although you guys weren't aware of the Rock Hudson Jim Nabors rumor, but those are the.
No, not those two together. I, like I said,
but much later, not while it was happening. I have heard about it since then.
Yeah.
You know, the marriage, and then, and also, yeah, but when it was happening, I was oblivious to all of it. I didn't care.
Really?
I didn't watch them. I mean, I knew who they were, of course, but.
I always wondered.
Or maybe it was just not talked about in my house like it was in yours.
Oh, yeah, it was discussed every night at dinner.
We didn't talk about anything like that.
Yeah.
No one talked to each other. Now it's like, I swear to God, you know, I probably talk too much to my kids, and I'm too honest, but growing up, it's like, your parents didn't tell you anything. Your grandparents.
Nothing.
It was like you couldn't ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really mad about it because my grandfather came from Italy on a boat with his sister when he was like 14 years old. And I'm just mad
what
at myself
story,
for not
right?
asking him questions. Yeah. But it was like, oh, don't
he
talk to him about that.
He wouldn't have told you anyway.
I know. But now it's like my nephew videotaped his grandfather and asking him all about the Korean War and Vietnam and all this stuff. And it's like, darn it, we should have done that. But we didn't.
Sure.
I had my son do that with my grandfather.
Oh, good.
Oh, and they were in Poland. Well, with my grandmother, my aunt, I should say. They were in Poland when Hitler invaded.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Without my grandfather, who was here at the time.
We would ask questions and people would go, oh, that's rude. Leave Nino alone.
Okay, like, here's
Nino probably wanted to tell me.
Here's what I found out in my teens, that my grandfather was born here in America, not Poland, which is shocking.
Yeah.
That my two aunts were twins. They were not identical. Nope. And that my dad could speak Polish.
All right. So why were they suppressing these stories?
The twins, I guess it was, you know, in the olden days in the village, it was bad to have twins. It was I don't know. It was not. It was not well.
Was it the devil's handiwork?
Kind of. I know. They're like, they're twins. Yay. Nope. It was not good. And my dad just, you know,
there's always an evil twin. There you go.
Oh, I bet that has
always,
something to do with
let
it.
Let me tell you, always an evil twin.
I've never heard that's bad luck in any way.
They would not. No, I'm not. That's how I say it. With such authority.
So were all three of these stories uncovered at the same time, or did years pass?
No, but kind of around the same time. Because I remember because I lived with my grandparents for a while, and we always lived together, actually, in two flats in Chicago. But I one day talked to my grandfather, who was more than my grandmother, never, my aunts never, but my grandfather was willing to talk.
Because the men were always shut up.
Exactly.
They really were.
I think you're right. And then I remember my older cousins coming up to me going, why are you telling everyone? We called him Jaji. Jaji was born here. I'm like, because he was? Because, like, we had no clue. He was born here and then went right back to Poland when he was a baby.
Right.
So but we know, still born here.
Yes, American citizen. It's just changed, a game changer.
I now, wouldn't have told people my name was Jaji.
That's well, the, was a nickname.
That's the thing I would have
Well, it was better than Boucha.
Okay, point well taken.
You know how their entire lives, she asked us to call her grandma. We never did. I kind of regret that, I guess. But she was
that's
Boucha.
All she wanted.
She wanted that and you didn't do it?
They wanted
that's
to be
wrong.
American. American, American, American. They were so
That's
like,
what the immigrants
proud.
Did, though.
Oh, my
all
gosh.
The my Italian aunts and uncles like would Americanize their name yep. so it wouldn't look like they were Italian, which is crazy.
You think
Pilak is my real name?
It isn't?
No.
No? What is Pielaskiewicz.
It? Pielaskiewicz.
What is it?
Excuse me? Pielaskiewicz. And if I lived in Poland, it would be Pielaskiewiczina.
Wow. The news would be over by the time we see your name.
Well, and you shortened your name.
I didn't.
Well,
my
no, your ancestors.
Did. It was Lefkowitz in Russia, yeah.
It's a common name.
Ours, my dad's name came from Schneiter somewhere. And I will tell you, I was in my 30s before I knew that I had
German?
Some German in me. Because my mom always told me, my mom was all Italian. So I knew I was half Italian. And then my dad died when I was 10. So I was like, well, what was dad? And she said, Irish. And I said, really? Because Schneiter doesn't sound Irish. Mm-mm. Oh, he was Scotch-Irish. Yes, he wasn't German. You know, all the German had been married out of them. They married Scotch-Irish
but
people.
That, you know that.
Did she want to erase that,
well,
that part of history? Or
well, here's what's funny.
German can't be married out of
yeah,
you.
But I'm like a little kid. I just listened to this.
That's the best thing. I'm using it as a parent. It was married out.
And so I swear she said this, you guys. And then my brother was like, you know, we're part German. And my sister and I are like, no, we're not. Mom says we're not. So my brother looked into it. We went to this Pennsylvania cemetery where a lot of our ancestors were. There was a Dietrich von Schneiter. That's Scotch-Irish. And then, so on the air, when I worked with another radio guy, Tony Fitzpatrick, we called my mom on the air and said, you know, Mrs. Schneiter, I just said, Mom, you've told me my whole life that I'm half Irish and half Italian. And she goes, well, that half Italian's right. And I said, well, what about the other half? Because everyone says Schneider's a German name. And she's pretty quiet. And then she's like, yes, Dad was German. He had a little German. And I said, really? So for like 30 years, you lied to me? And she goes, well, Hitler wasn't a very good guy.
Well,
and
she was right about that.
Tony Fitzpatrick says, Mrs. Schneiter, Mussolini wasn't so great either.
Oh, man.
Perfect.
Wow.
Well, he was best friends with Mussolini.
Wow.
That is a great answer.
We must close things off.
Yes. Sorry.
Judy, thank you for hanging
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
A quick break, and then we'll close it all off. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You are not in tomorrow. I forgot.
No, Wendy, I have to take the day off tomorrow.
It's nothing, not a medical test. This is just the end of the year, getting your vacation days in.
Yeah.
All right. Harry Tynowitz.
Tynemans.
I need those for fresh breath. Harry Tynowitz will be with me tomorrow.
And then the premiere of a new show here on the stream on WGN, Jaji and Boucha, which is getting rave reviews. I hope it's a huge hit.
I'll miss you tomorrow. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.